Just a few verses in Luke 12. Just turn a page or two over. Luke chapter 12. Just kind of throw ourselves right into the middle of Luke 12. In verse 31. It says, "But the Lord Jesus speaking says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." Just stop there. This is a wonderful section. You know, this section in Luke chapter 12 is extremely beautiful because the Lord is addressing, as the Lord said, a little flock. Obviously, he's speaking to a remnant here. It was a remnant of Israel. And I think we honestly believe we are in remnant conditions today. If we make this application and see how much we are like, we are a little flock. I think Mr. Darby even entitled the hymn book, "The Little Flock," Hymns for the Little Flock. So we are a little flock. You know, we might think of ourselves, the Grove City might be a lot of saints gathered together, but really we're a very little flock in light of the millions in this world. And so it's wonderful that the Lord gives help and encouragement and exhortation in this section to that little flock. And first of all, as I started kind of oddly in the middle of the section, more pointing out what we are to seek. What was he telling them to seek? Seek prosperity on earth? We were talking about that before. No, that's not what he says. Seek to have great securities here? Seek to have the big bank accounts? Is that what the Lord's saying to them? No, seek what? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek ye the kingdom of God. In other words, we talked about this. A few of us were referring to this at the lunch break. How we are like Paul to have the attitude of loving the Lord's appearing. And to love his appearing really is something we express in our lives, in our attitudes. It has to do with loving him to have his rights in my life personally, as a saint, as a believer. And therefore, if I love that, if it's expressed in that way in my life, I'm loving the fact that for the day when he will have his rights over this whole earth, this whole world. But it's only proven in love if I allow that to be true in my life. I can say I love his appearing, but if I don't love him to have his way in my life, I don't really love his appearing. I'm fooling myself. But we need to have this attitude, and this, therefore, the seeking the kingdom is the time when the Lord will have full rights here, absolute sway over this world. And therefore, we should have that desire in our hearts as well, like Paul expressed. But then he goes on to tell us, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And isn't it the Lord Jesus alone who introduced the Father to the saints and to us? It is the Lord who introduces us. We heard about this at the very beginning, about "in my Father's house are many abodes." And how wonderful that the Lord opens up to us the Father's heart. And here we see the Father's heart is a heart that gives. He gives not as the world, but he shares all he possesses with his loved co-heirs. And this is what the Father has given all to the Son. The Son shares it with us. What a God we know. What a God and Father. And so the Father's good pleasure, he says, is to give you the kingdom. Isn't this a lovely thing? He doesn't say, "You work for it. You earned it." No, to give you the kingdom. And this should be the motivating factor for the verses that follow. The fact that the Father has given to us. What's he given to us? Exceeding great and precious promises. He's given to us salvation. He's given to us life eternal. He's given to us his Son as our Savior. He's given to us the Holy Spirit. Wonderful gifts. But here it's the kingdom. And this motivation is why the Lord says what he says in verse 33. Sell that ye have. Not like those souls you mentioned, brother, to get rid of everything and pretend that you know when the Lord's coming. No, he's emphasizing here a reality in our lives. A reality. This is where the rubber meets the road. We can say we believe what we believe, but it's how we act upon what we believe that is the evidence for what I believe. And just like James says, show me your works. I want to see the reality of your faith. Then I'll believe you have faith. But here it is, sell that you have and give alms. This is to the needs of those that don't have, is what he's saying. Provide for yourselves bags which wax not old. What's he referring to? He's referring to the fact that, you know, many try to save their money. In the book of Haggai, the people were investing lots of their money into their houses. And they were putting their money into bags with holes. They were losing their treasure. Losing everything they thought they could save. Because the Lord blew upon it, as it were, to cause what they tried to secure for themselves to disappear. But the Lord says here, if you live for me, the Lord Jesus is saying, if you live for me, invest in eternity. Invest in eternity. You're going to provide for yourself a bag without holes and that doesn't get old, that won't wear out. So that he says, the Lord goes on to say, a treasure on earth? No, a treasure in the heavens. A treasure in the heavens that fails not, where no thief approaches, nor does moth corrupt. How wonderful this is, that the Lord is saying, you want security, securities? Do you want to have things secure? Invest in eternity. Do you believe? If you believe, the Lord says, if you believe me, if you believe my word, then act upon what I teach you. And therefore, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, this is the truth. Bearing much fruit. This is part of fruit bearing, what he's bringing out here. It's a very lovely thing. And so, but it's an investment. This is investment. We need to invest in eternity. We need to live this day in light of eternity. And so the Lord goes on to give this wonderful word here, for where your treasure is. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is really something the Lord sees our hearts. He knows where our treasure is, but do we? Do we know where our treasure is? You know, there's many young people here. They have a lot of decisions to make in life. Some are getting great education, and thank the Lord for it. They have the liberty in this land to do that. Some lands, they wonder where the next meal is coming from. But here we have the liberty to go to school and go to a college for 4 years, and it's a wonderful privilege. But what are you planning to do? It's a good thing to ask yourself this question. Are you planning on opening accounts in different places, having a great stock market portfolio, all these things that are possible? It's very possible here. Or do you have plans to use the skills, the abilities, the intelligence, the gifts the Lord has given you to invest in eternity? I challenge us all in that. Are we investing in eternity? Do we have a treasure in heaven? Are you investing in that account? The moment you're saved, God opens an account for you. It's wonderful. I know when my children were born, I opened an account for them. I can't say I helped it a lot over the years, but I opened an account for them. But our God and Father, He's done this for us. He wants us to know that if you put into His account, oh, the dividends are tremendous. They are tremendous. The returns are fabulous. They're eternal returns. And so may we be encouraged to invest in what matters for eternity. Because the Lord goes on to tell us, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. We've talked about this today. The loins, remember, the children of Israel in the Passover, they were to have their loins girded, their staff in their hand, their sandals on their feet. Why? Ready to leave. Ready to leave Egypt. Sorry, brother.
I did that already.
You did that, sorry. But they were ready to leave. They had to live in the anticipation that our exodus is coming up. Our time to leave is coming up. And I ask you, are you anticipating your exodus from this world? Are you anticipating leaving? And that's the way we should live our lives. Because this world should not be a settled home for us. The deeper we sink our roots here as believers, the more painful it's going to be to leave.